哦，那当中，那我这三轮拿了呀，俺就给现在的这张啊，就给恰比鱼团呀，当，点点也明年比最多的点点去搞完呢，俺点点来了呀，就给念了呢，点那个俺这三轮的鱼的吃了马当瓦钱，俺那这个送过过来是，俺点那个鱼的给吃上，俺都是呢，就马拿些是，是每个都是呢，三单呢都是。अनि तंगो रे सियाचिता अनि दिमें बेगे तंग अन जुगी ने एम्बल फाटे छे तारे गा तो लो माचा वासा लो माचा वेकल ते संग सिंग मंग पो मेसा ते ने एम्बा छे ते छे दुस छे नंग जुगी दुस के छे छे बाइना अनि न्याम न्याम छे बाइना न्याम ने या युंग रेस न दे ने छे अनि दिमें बेगे तंग अन जुगी का सोरे जे ने नजर उच तंग कले का पूरा छे तब्शी तब्लम जिने मेरे कहाँ कहाँ ले गए तो अने दिखाया समतने से बुशु तो पचने दूर चूक रहे हैं तेरे सम्मता जो दिले जा सम्मकर्ता को रहे हैं वो तो क्या वांग में लेगी टिपु रहे तंग लेगी टिपु मिंगो रहे हैं जैसा तो लेगी टिपु ता न्यूसा सावंजन जेवु दिखती ना यहाँ यहाँ मोहया चाहिए थे इन तरह लेके जो मिंगो रहे सम्पे तो सम्तां शब्द ना अने कहाँ चुका यंगो रहे से अन दिन शुरू आते थे नेगी कोर सम्तां ना दांगो रहे स्टी को शेर वादा.
Good afternoon. This morning we looked at how to relate to objects that arise to our mind, whether they're an object of attachment or anger, or even if it's an object that is unpleasant speech.And that's to relate to them as if they are an illusion, an apparition, or an echo. We also looked at how we should aspire to retreat to an isolated place away from the busyness and distraction of the world. And where we are unable to do so, at least try to isolate our mind from busyness so as to aid our mental training. We also looked at how to relate to illnesses and other difficult situations, recognizing firstly that being worrying about them or being anxious about them only will make the situation worse. Rather, we should remind ourselves that these situations, such as illness, have come about in dependence on karma that was accumulated in a past life. It has now ripened, and therefore we won't have to suffer from this karmic seed again. It is now eliminated.
आंधा दिन माँ कर दो सने ता लेलो लेलो न्यूमले सिम जुंचे देशे दालं अं जांसिंग सा.
Returning to the text, when a hint of procrastination and laziness arises, at that instant, enumerate your flaws.
अ लेलो से दे मान जो कि केवी चावा चेवाला जिन्हें मचो बादी लेलो से उरा चेह चेह की दुबा मान्य बाद ते दी चेदी में बारो से दिने के लेलो से उरे जैसे लेलो से दे ते न्योमले से दे यहाँ जी दंडा चुंचुं जिलिया जी के जी गोखर चेह अने आ जो कि दुबा न्यामलें चेह ल पा जी के ओ दाने आ दी लेगा दी चेह उदी मा जी न्याले दी साहू संबे समलो शोर वादा जो दिने लेगा चुंचुं जी दंडा चुंचुं जिला लेगा जी गोखर चेह अने आ जो केवी चाव मा दुबा चेवाई ना ते न्योमले न्योमले से वो न्योमले देने के सामनों ले दो अने कर्ची वो रहे लम्ना ना आज लिया चिकित्सा जावा चेपाला न्यामने चेपाला भाषी के जोर हो चुप जिसे चेक वो रहे ले लो से आता न्योमले से जिसे जावा अंशिं ये ले लो दिया चिके रिक्कशे योर वा दिसे द अन देने के सामनों ले दो आज चिकित्सा
Laziness here then refers to a reluctance to engage in virtuous activities. The reluctance then, as we have experience of, can be taken as laziness, not wanting to engage in virtuous activities. And this is often comes along with making excuses, excuses that may be presented to ourselves as valid reasons. But underlying this, we need to look carefully to see if our motivation is actually one of laziness. Moreover, This can be expressed in a wide number of ways. Focusing, for example, on something of little benefit. So it can be said to be virtuous, but the benefit that comes from it is minor. And rather we put aside something that could be far more beneficial. So it's focusing on the relatively unimportant things that will bring about small benefits, rather than conserving our energy and our time for what is truly meaningful. Laziness, this then serves as an obstacle to the accumulation of virtue or the development of virtuous ways of thinking. When we see our mind being lazy, whether we are expressing it by wanting to engage in virtuous activities of little benefit, or if we procrastinate, delaying engaging in virtue to another time, we need to enumerate our flaws. So what this actually means is not explicitly enumerate our flaws, but rather to remind ourselves of our need for spiritual development. So we recognize our limitations, our faults, and therefore our need to spiritually develop. Recognize the opportunity that we have. We have an opportunity now to read or to reflect, to cultivate the mind of the Dharma within us. And an opportunity like we have now, this we should not waste. We should not waste it through being distracted by what has little importance. Rather, we should use the opportunity we have to accumulate causes for good rebirth, accumulate causes to spiritually develop and eventually attain liberation and enlightenment. And we do so also through recognizing that this opportunity that we have right now, it will end, and we may well not get such an opportunity again.
Tene tuju nyumbo chamber chas. Tuju nyumbo chamber chas. That's all. That denege lelo da majele a carcha worsen. Anjuke samlut naje. Depending on juke, San Yu Chemdenje sea in a tambo, ars nashi chiba res. Tesan chiba inza, San Yu chiba rede in a San Yu Chemdenje, pechig, kevi chawa, nyamlenje, tundu cheche. Lelo macheba, lelo bang, patundu che, pezu che, nyamlen che, and semja tamsu dunalea, and the jamba, injo comiata, chasu sem comiata, the nigger lam yam the rumba, and do sanjo coma tosso, jig yu and gusu yu and the good in chavares. Da, the ne chavanza, that do you love do, that sanjo chimney, your corongi, nyam yong yu tone, and jigger, duha sea, that dig you to your tablum ten sheba di. Sanye ne kwanzu ge yun din je bi ge nyam nen chen de che ba da chen ha chen ne kwanzu che o de ni ge chen ne je nga ya de ni chen ne an chi ge ta ba tam chi yu ko ma tu tu re sen bi ge de be zhe che che an du chen ne kwanzu na xin na wa na xin chen ha de nyam nen di je wo re se wo de ju ning bo chen ba cha se de de ne kwanzu ge du je ba de an ju je sam da je ba je de lia de ne chen ba je an rang gi ne di na xin nyam nen ji gin se bi ge an du chen ne de ba je an de ba ji ne zhen ju che an nyam nen che wo re je le.
So in addition to the third line here, where we remind ourselves of our need to spiritually develop and that this opportunity will end, so therefore we must utilize it well, we should also then recall the essence of spiritual conduct. Here we turn our mind to our role models and we generate strength of mind by desiring to become just like them, to develop their same good qualities. For example, we turn our mind to Buddha Shakyamuni and remind ourselves that he was not always a Buddha. He was an ordinary being at one point, no different from how we find ourselves right now. And at that time, he took the teachings to heart and with vigor applied himself to the utilization of mindfulness and vigilance and conscientiousness. He heard many teachings, reflected and meditated on them, training in the correct sequence, giving rise to a deep and profound understanding of the sufferings of samsara, and applying that then to the situation of others, and generated love and compassion and bodhicitta for them, and reflected in a profound manner on the correct view. And through training like this, he transformed himself from an ordinary being, no different from ourselves, into a perfected being, a Buddha. And having become a Buddha for the sake of others, he was able to enact the benefits, the welfare of others, in a way that other ordinary beings cannot. And we can see the evidence of this in that, through the historical accounts of the benefit that came to beings who received teachings from him directly, as well as the historical lineage that has continued his teachings from when he was abiding in the world right up to the present day. So many beings received his teachings, applied themselves to the teachings in the same way that he did, and cultivated those self-same realizations within themselves, beings such as Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Aryadeva, etc., right up to the present day. Here then, turning our mind in this way, we can generate an enthusiasm, a strength of mind, again turning our mind in a positive way, away from distraction to mundane affairs. Even where we see something as being worthwhile, see it rather in its true light, and apply ourselves with vigor to what is truly important. And this way, we can live a meaningful life, take the essence of this life, through generating joyous perseverance. We make the most of what remains of this opportunity.
Then Delia, Jawad, Jimbi, Junjuli, then Lelo, the Kagis. Dear Adam, as a carinero, a lagar, a chill of genre, another, Zemo in the Susuki, Zemo del Pe, Tuba, Jag, Tuba, Shukchimbora, Shukchubana, Charva Jabnade, Namshi Drama in that, Tower in that, Dinal Jag, Dunyak, Dumba Shukchim, Dinet, Dunyak, Dumba Shukchim, Dinet, say to war. Delia, Dunyak, Dumba Mena, Dinet, Dunyak, Dumba Mena. Then it did you say the Yahweh and I didn't see me in your good Saturday, and I did me such the name Guru watches that the name is that don't you do much chamber unity, Devacha, don't you do much chamber, don't you do much centrally, centrally Yabuli to it, centrally Yabulena, Cashing and Trishing and Nemlecha call Javasili Chigit, Dinin, Lelo Yung Maris, that Lelo in Yambo, Tiadi, Delia, Mubata, and Devachayata. And Dumbakia, and Yamnage, Dumba, Tony, Dumbakia, Tunisia.
The previous segment, the explanation I gave was one of generating faith. Faith in the Buddha, faith in the Buddha's teachings, and faith in his skills and realized practitioners, the Sangha. The stronger one's faith, the more readily and easily we'll apply ourselves to cultivating the good qualities of the Dharma within ourselves. The stronger our faith, the greater our perseverance will be to achieve our spiritual goals. And as I mentioned yesterday, faith to be transformative arises in dependence on deep reflection. Reflecting on the good qualities and the benefits of the beings in whom we place our faith, as well as the goals to which we aspire. So faith or conviction arises in dependence on deep reflection. And faith is often likened to a mother, in that just like children are born from a mother, all good qualities within one arise from faith, because it's faith that gives us the strength of mind to transform habit patterns which may take us in the direction of laziness and procrastination, turn us away from what we find attractive to what we know is meaningful. And this is a process that is applied in our society in general. If we think perhaps you yourselves are, or you know of others who are aspire to be skilled athletes or sports people, such people, no matter the weather, they wake up early and they're out there training. And they do so all year long. We have the Olympics coming up, and these athletes will have been training for most of their life with incredible diligence. So taking world-class athletes, the attitude that they apply to become world-class, we apply that to our spiritual development, and we too will develop a powerful, focused mind. Our introspection, mindfulness, conscientiousness will be unshakable. And in this way, our spiritual transformation will come about rapidly.
Dine, Gaide Shanda Tongwe Tse, Shidi Songbor Mawa Tangs.
The text continues, however, if you do encounter others, speak peacefully and truthfully. This has a close connection to what I presented yesterday. when we encounter others, in dependence on the training we've done previously in our meditation, when we encounter others, we will immediately recognize that this person I have a close and intimate connection with. No matter who they are, whether in this life they are a stranger to us or not, we have a close and intimate connection with them. Because in a previous life, perhaps the one immediately preceding to this, we would have had a relationship of parent and child with them. We may have been their child, or they may have been ours. And this is the case with every being we meet. We do have such a close connection with. And in that lifetime, as well as in this lifetime, they have either shown us direct kindness, or their activities, in terms of the greater interconnection of beings, their activities bring us benefit. There is a deep and fine web of interconnection between all of us. And thinking like this, as well as with the recognition that this being is no different from me, on a fundamental level, we are exactly the same. We want to be happy. We want all our encounters with others to be warm and close and straightforward. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to experience any unwanted circumstance. We're all exactly the same. And being aware of this, naturally, we'll communicate with them in a manner that is honest and straightforward and sincere. And we'll do, and it will be as sincere because we will understand our close connection. We'll be motivated by wanting the very best for them. In this way, everyone we encounter, we'll communicate with them in a peaceful and a trustworthy manner. Do not grimace or frown, but always maintain a smile. Motivated by a wish to bring benefit to others, and certainly at the very least not to harm them, then do not interact with others with a grimace or a frown. Because we know when we encounter someone whose facial expression is such, immediately apprehension arises within us, possibly fear. Rather, we should engage with others with a warm and loving attitude and express this through having an open and welcoming disposition. Independence on one's prior meditations, having come to understand that others also want to be free of pain and misery, yet their life has many difficulties and they carry their own burden of difficulties. That combined with understanding they only want to be happy just like myself, and a feeling of closeness, of intimacy with them, we will not want to harm them in any way. We'll not want to add to their burden of pain and misery. Rather, we'll want to interact with them in a way that eases their suffering and, where possible, can be of benefit to them. And in that way, then, with sincerity, we will interact with others without a grimace or frown, but always maintaining a pleasant disposition. As was mentioned in the very first session and each session subsequently, our physical behavior and our verbal communication comes about independent on a motivating mind. If our mind is wholesome, our speech and behavior is going to reflect this. If our mind is unwholesome, our speech and behavior will reflect this. So therefore, if we're interacting with others with a grimace or frown, or if we're interacting with them with a smile, this comes about independent on the motivating mind. And we also know this from our daily life, that if we're in a bad mood, we're likely to be very sensitive, we're likely to get upset very easily. And conversely, if our mind is spacious and calm, then we can deal with life's difficulties so much more skillfully. So recognizing this, we use this then for ever further encouragement to turn away from being under the influence of unwholesome minds, trying to ensure our mood stays light. We're not being drawn to either thoughts of anger and aversion, nor to attachments and desire, but rather keep the mind light and calm. Because when the mind is not afflicted, it's in a wholesome place, and we can much more easily interact with others in a way that is beneficial. And especially where we've been training, coming to value others, recognize our close and intimate relationship that we share with all others, recognizing how we are really on a fundamental level no different. We'll want to interact with them in a way that does value, where we express the value that we hold them in. And therefore, the mental factors of introspection, mindfulness, and conscientiousness play such a crucial role, so that we're always aware if our mind is going in a wholesome or unwholesome direction, and if we need to correct it or sustain it. And as we strive ever more in this regard, this will become a habitual way of thinking. We'll become habitually aware of our way of thinking, habitually aware of what is wholesome and not, and ever more skilled at turning our mind from afflictions to wholesome ways of thinking, and keeping our mind wholesome and virtuous. And this comes about, all these trainings come together in helping us to have ever more skills to deal with life's difficulties, whether they are slight or more severe. So as one trains in all of these trainings, this gives us ever more skills, ever greater skills, ever more talents to deal with life's difficulties. As we see the success coming within our training, we'll strive ever more constantly to be the person that we long to be.
And the name is Samlo Rale, but the Bem as a Samlo said, Nubichimbu in the Samlo Shurale Gudua, Bene, then Nanzu Yamio Tosu, you are there, as in that, Beneng and the Kumanala to do that Nanzu Shah, Tanti, and the Pumangura, Pushu Mangura, then Nanzu Nano Pesha, that Debra Law to do, then the Poos or Labda that in the Lude, then Poos Chiludi, Bajawa, the Demo Show, the Gage or the Bed, Zemzigor, what Gage capture, Zemzigor.
Taking care of our mind is of the utmost importance because of the great power our mind has. There's really nothing quite like it. If we take any situation, wanted or unwanted, how we think about it determines how we experience it. All unwanted situations are unwanted because of how we are thinking about it. So for example, I'll share an example from my own life, which I would assume many of you have experience of as well. So in our monastery, there are many young monks. And when they come home from school in the break time or at the end of the day, they've got all this energy after having been kept cooped up in a class for a long time. And they play with frantic energy. And accompanying this is a lot of noise. So myself and all the other monks, we are usually then in our rooms. We are either trying to memorize or we're trying to think deeply about what we are studying, preparing for our debate later that night. Or maybe we're in a teaching, hoping to, trying to hear our teacher. And outside, there's all this youthful enthusiasm and joy being expressed. So there, it's very easy for the mind to respond in a particular way, thinking, all that noise is serving as an obstacle to what I value as important. So I'm trying to either hear a teaching, or I'm trying to memorize, or I'm trying to reflect deeply on the teaching. This is something of great importance. And now these little kids are serving as obstacles for no important reason. They're kicking a ball around or chasing each other around. That's really frivolous. And then it's very easy to get up and act out on that way of thinking. The speech that will follow from such a mind will be harsh. There will be no smiles, but there will be plenty of frowns. And following from the frowns and the wagging finger and the raised voice, all those joyful young minds will suddenly become unhappy, suddenly become fearful. That's one approach. Another approach is to recognize what I'm doing right now is of great importance. But these are young kids. This is what children do. When they have the opportunity, they play. They love playing. And I was no different when I was young like them. And now, actually, as an adult, I express this in a different way, but I'm still no different. I also like to relax with my friends, and that's how I take my joy. So really, even on this coarser level, I am no different. And when I was younger, just like them, because underneath all of this is my yearning for happiness and freedom from suffering. The kids are now playing because they want to have freedom from suffering but enjoy happiness. And me, I'm trying to study or hear the teaching or meditate because I also want to be happy. So let me keep my mind virtuous, let the kids be kids, and in this way, that same situation is experienced in a completely different way. The children have a wonderful break. They can go back to class with a happy mind and hopefully engage well with what their teacher is trying to teach them. And my studies continue unimpeded. So this is an illustration that we probably can all relate to. But it relates, we can apply that to every single experience we have. The way we experience it depends on our way of thinking. And we have some control over our way of thinking. In particular, we train repeatedly to turn away from unwholesome minds and to embrace wholesome minds. We can transform how we experience any situation. What should be abundantly clear from all our talks thus far is that the happiness we yearn for comes about in dependence on a way of thinking. Being free of suffering comes about in dependence on a way of thinking. Suffering itself comes about in dependence on our way of thinking. So we can't change our external environment much. We certainly struggle to change the behavior of other people very much. We can't control how others act, how others talk, or what situations we encounter. We can't have everything go our way. We can't always have others act in accordance with our wishes, especially since our wishes change so often. There's a very famous verse from Shantideva, where he says, "Where could I possibly find enough leather with which to cover the surface of the earth? Having leather on just the soles of my shoes is equivalent to covering the earth with it." So here he's saying, if there are thorns outside, well, one can sweep the thorns away. But there will be further thorns will come, or if one walks a little further, there will be thorns over there as well. One cannot change the external world, but one can take control of one's own mind. So the key point being presented here is that it's not the situations that we encounter or people that we encounter that we need to change. It's our way of thinking that we need to change. And it's not because of what someone said or what was done or what someone didn't say or didn't do that we are upset about. It's because of how we think about what was said or done. Therefore, we need to take control of our own mind, transform our own mind.
Then, when do we send out Tommy to send a message in Lagos?
Returning to the text, in general, when you see others, be free of miserliness and delight in giving.
Then, when do we send out Tommy to say, did you get a share? Good evening, share some chair.
Whenever one encounters others, whether humans or animals, ensure that the minds one has been developing in meditation, that these come to the fore, and thereby, based on an attitude of respect and appreciation, engage with them in a kind-hearted way, in a loving way. In whatever way one can aid them, and do so with sincerity, do so in a genuine manner, take delight in aiding others. So the meaning here then of giving, we can understand in a broad manner, and miserliness is the attitude holding ourselves back from that. Give of ourselves to others, ease their burden, bring joy to others, and take delight in doing so.
So Sanju Goban Tobia de Yang Karajin Tobore, Sanju Goban Tobores, Sienji Dumasia, then Digi Dubiala, and the Chigi, Yendin Pusum Tobach, Masan Mebaina, Sienji Digi Dubtuyatang, and Duma Jachimur said to Yadi, Chagimunucine, Dineza, Sanju Goban Toyaldi, Semjan Tamji Dumasia, and Digi Dubiak to another Sanju Goban Tobus, Denega Kuno, Kedichaji Semban, Yenyam, and Nangorua. Now, as I tell you, Semani, do you Namgin, did Gedi Nea, and Sienji. Shen de Bene Dumayon de Dumasia Tigitualaya, Shen Lia, and Chike Bene Ne Sayatunya, Dulot, and Denigi Kamayo Batalia, Denigi Penjo Tony Robotia, and Dimen Beta Corondulia Nevalia Mengi Tony Robotia, Duchin Robotia Chimbataya, and Dimen Begeta Gidine, and Chike Corondulam Never said to be in a mom, but the corner thing is the only good corner of the Sajugo, which is a Sajugo, the corner of the part of the GHA, and the negative in some dinner tango, the Jimbian Yaman, don't be some of Congo, the Luma is near Jimbe, Sulim Sungo, the Sosan and Yamlin Chevadi, and the corner and dinner in Jehoras, Lobden Chevy, Honsalia, Lapcha, Lobden Chevy, Duchin, Yamlin Chevy, yes, Jeva, Jevaina, and the country, Naka. Digi da dunga seya diya digi dhubya re an maomba na denja ki digi dhubya dunga seya liya dus pengo re dus nanggo chanyu seba namgi dus nanggo re se korwa da
Bodhisattvas have as their goal the attainment of enlightenment and they have this as a goal because they've recognized that all beings are just like them in wanting to be free of pain and misery and wanting to experience lasting happiness. But the Bodhisattva has recognized the limitation in being able to guide beings to achieve liberation. So therefore, they have to become a Buddha as quickly as possible so that they can become that skilled guide who can help others in the most meaningful of ways. To attain Buddhahood, huge stores of merit need to be accumulated. Merit through acquired through many virtuous deeds. And with this goal, and bodhicitta has as its goal enlightenment for the sake of others. Another way to express it, bodhicitta has its goal to be of meaningful benefit to others. So therefore, whenever the bodhisattva is presented with an opportunity to be of benefit to others in any way, whether minor or a supreme way, a bodhisattva with delight will wholeheartedly embrace this opportunity without any hesitation or miserliness, without holding back. They will help others, whether it's to help them materially, whether it's to help them through giving advice, whether it's to help them in the Dharma or in an ordinary way. With great enthusiasm and joy, the bodhisattva will help others. And whilst helping them, the bodhisattva will ensure they are practicing ethical restraint. In other words, they will ensure there's no taint of their afflictions whilst helping others. And in this way, they are able to help others in a truly selfless manner. Training in generosity is cultivating the wish to give. And so in meditation, one trains in the wish to give in three ways. And when one is presented with the opportunity in everyday life, in dependence on that training, one will readily give to others. the three divisions of generosity. The first is material generosity. The second is that of giving fearlessness. The giving of fearlessness is helping those whose life is in grave danger, those who are fearing that they are about to die. So whether it's an insect in a pond of water or another being who's facing death, the practitioner then helps free them from this fear of death by saving their life. So this is the second. The first was material generosity, which we already know well from society. And the third is the giving of Dharma. So the giving of Dharma is either explicitly teaching the Dharma, or it's giving guidance or advice to those in need. So these are the three types of giving: material, fearlessness, and Dharma.
That Jimbetayala, Pache, Sujigore said, and Hansugula, Senna said, Samloti, Senna said, you are pets, so sort, Odu, Sembishania, Tang, Teddy, maybe, Debig, Teddy, maybe, Senna said, Ligore, this Senadi, Senna, the Samloti, Dang, Samloti, Yakumaresi, or this Samlo Denishi, this Samlo Chudigi, Denishiovena, Sangarango, Sandy Tigme, Sambia Samlo Chuvena, Yanking out to Gishania, Roger, Nuba, Dang, go up to Yuvene.
The wish to give and miserliness, these are two contrary minds. To the extent that one is dominant, the other will struggle to arise. Generosity is, the training of generosity is mental training. It's cultivating the wish to give, the wish to be of benefit to others, to give whatever is required to benefit others. The wish to give in any of those three ways, whether material generosity, giving of fearlessness, or giving of the Dharma. Miserliness, on the other hand, is not other focused like generosity. Miserliness is primarily concerned with oneself. Generosity is the wish to give. It's placing others' needs foremost. Miserliness is the desire to keep it for myself. So mightiness is where we place our own needs first and foremost, rather than placing the needs of others first and foremost. But if one trains well in generosity, meditating on the benefits of generosity, the faults of miserliness, and in acting in one's meditation, giving away what one actually owns, giving away things that one doesn't own but one knows other needs, meditating on giving fearlessness to those in danger, giving the appropriate teachings and advice to those in need. In this way, giving in this way, generating the ever stronger wish to be of benefit to others, coming to understand that all that we have, whether material or our inner qualities, has come about in dependence on the kindness of others. My further spiritual development, this too, will come about in dependence on the kindness of others. Reflecting like this, we'll start to see that all that we have has not only come about in the dependence on kindness of others, but we should utilize it to repay the kindness of others. Meditating like this repeatedly over a sustained period, as well as with the other meditations mentioned previously, we'll value others ever more. Thereafter, when we have the opportunity to benefit others, we will do so. And we'll do so in accordance with our capacity. So where we can materially help others, we'll do so. Where we can save the life of another, we'll do so. Where we can give either a Dharma teaching or good guidance or advice, we'll readily do so. So meditation, we give in these three ways to others. In meditation, we give to the three jewels, make offering to the three jewels. In a practical sense as well, we make offerings on our shrine. In this way, continuing to train our mind in the expression of giving to others, developing the wish or developing the attitude of placing their needs first and foremost, coming to understand more in accordance with reality how we actually have all that we have in terms of inner qualities and material goods. It's all come about in dependence on this interaction, this interplay between ourself and others. And with having broken down this separation that we currently feel between ourself and others, we'll readily share what we have with them and want to use what we have to benefit others.
And in the Dinigi, Jimbi, Yamlin, Chiadi, その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、その、
Buddha Shakyamuni taught generosity as the first amongst the six perfections. And he did this for several reasons, one of which is how easy it is to practice generosity. And it being easy to practice is of great importance, because being able to easily be of benefit to others and know that this is bring happiness to others through the alleviation of their suffering, this brings delight to our mind. And why is it important to bring delight to our mind? It's not just the pleasure of mere temporary happiness, but to inspire us to do ever more, to inspire us in our training to develop ever more powerful, virtuous ways of thinking and accumulate ever more merit to speed up our inner spiritual transformation. So because generosity is so easy to practice, it was presented first. And the karmic results that come from generosity are that in our future lives, we have an abundance of material goods. And this is required by all beings, but certainly also required to ensure that we have favorable circumstances to continue our spiritual endeavors in our future lives. And we can see the different karmic ripening results amongst beings. For example, I imagine the pets that live in your home have really quite a fabulous life. They live in a home where they have an abundance of comfort in an environment that is completely safe. Moreover, they have delicious and healthy food given to them several times a day. They don't need to do anything to get this. This is the karmic ripening result of the practice of generosity in previous lives. For so many other animals, including other pets elsewhere, they haven't accumulated such causes. They don't live somewhere safe. They don't have easy access to food. So here we can see a result of generosity. The practice of generosity can go in two general directions. There's that generosity offered to beings who are suffering, and then there's offerings to beings who we hold with reverence. So the second type would be, for example, offerings to the three jewels. And here, this can be done in so many ways. As has been mentioned, one can do in meditation, making offerings to one's lama and the three jewels. Another way is the water bowls that we see all over here. The offering of water bowls is a unique Tibetan custom. It didn't exist in ancient India, yet it came, in a sense, from India to Tibet, in that when Lama Atisha came to Tibet, he saw that in Tibet All year long it would have been kind of difficult to offer things such as flowers, but there was a lot of water, and water was available all year long. So he instituted the custom of offering water bowls. And he encouraged students to offer water bowls because it is so easy. There are many rivers around, certainly a lot of the year there was snow. So water could be offered with ease. In addition to that, because water was so abundant, it can be offered without a trace of miserliness. So therefore, Lama Atisha was not only the one who instigated the custom of offering water bowls, but he did so because it was so easy to do, and one could make pure offerings without a trace of miserliness. As has been said so many times, our way of thinking is primary. Our speech and physical behavior follow from this. And the quality of our speech and behavior depends on the quality of our mind. So if one is making offerings of water bowls or flowers or incense, here take care of your mind. The quality of your mind determines the quality of the offering that is being made. Make the offering to the three jewels with an awareness that one is doing so, not just going through the motions, but actually with sincerity making offerings to the three jewels, aware that all the Buddhas and great bodhisattvas with their developed minds are aware of what we are doing, aware of our thoughts, and therefore we may be just laying things out on our shrine, but we are actually offering to them. And moreover, keep one's motivation in mind. We are making offerings to the three jewels, strengthening our connection with them, creating merit so as to become a Buddha for the sake of all suffering beings. So therefore, in a sense, we are making offerings to the three jewels as a representative of all sentient beings, in that we are doing it on their behalf. So this is something that we can all do readily in our homes, but we don't and shouldn't just leave it there. Training in the Dharma, practicing Dharma, means training our mind. Everywhere we go, everything we do, our mind comes with us. So when we are going about our daily activities and we observe something and it's beautiful, offer that to the three jewels. Whether one's walking in the grounds around here or whatever activities you're engaging in, you notice something beautiful, immediately offer it to the three jewels. And by doing so, especially when you take a moment to regenerate your motivation, you not only accumulate merit, but with your mind virtuous, thereafter you're much more likely to continue to engage virtue. And then to give another illustration of something we engage in so many times and present so many opportunities to create virtue, is we all eat several times a day. When we vow to eat, we can offer the meal first to the three jewels, create virtue. While we're eating, we can make offerings to the beings living in our bodies, those which will help with the digestion. Then, when we finish eating and we take our leftovers, we have a few choices. Maybe we'll scrape them in the bin, and in our mind, we know that the garbage will eventually go to the city dump, and there will be insects that will help with the decomposing of the waste. So here, offer to those mother sentient beings. Or if the leftover food is suitable, we can place it outside for the birds or for the insects, and we can offer to these mother sentient beings. And later in the day, when we go to the toilet and we pass our meal from us, we know too that there'll be beings in the sewage system that will see this as food. So repeatedly, that same meal in differing ways can be offered. We can make so much merit. And here the power of merit is not just for making offerings to the three jewels or from sentient beings, but it's really through generating the virtuous mind. The stronger the virtuous mind is, the greater the desire to be of benefit to others. The deeper the sincerity of that offering, the greater the merit we will accumulate. And the verse continues, relinquish all thoughts of envy. Envy or jealousy, this too is an afflictive mind that one needs to abandon. Jealous towards the possessions or the good qualities or the opportunities or situation that others have, this is a deeply self-centered mind, concerned primarily with oneself, and not at all rejoicing in the good qualities or circumstances others have. When we're jealous about what the qualities or the material goods someone else has, even if they are a friend, it serves to separate us from them. It can also lead to the generation of competitiveness towards others, wanting what others have. And rather than viewing them as people with their own hopes and dreams, their own desire for happiness and freedom from suffering, our mind is rather obsessed by what they have and we lack. So rather than wanting the best for others, we actually want to push them down. We want our success to come ahead of theirs, even perhaps at the expense of theirs. So therefore, envy or jealousy needs to be abandoned too.
Samyatada, jimi tunjian da yahu ra chi chungpa de le su yahu chung shua sa na pe yahu ra ya sa ya de jik chen digi chun na yahu ra ya sa ya ngang cha zang dewa dwe pa re dunga mi dwe pa re koran la digi chun na dewa dwe pa na koran digi chung yahu ra wa san pe ke da du si na samtang wa ina an cha to tu yungu ma re se war ta de
Rather, rejoice in what others have. Again, whether material or the inequalities or circumstances, rejoice in what they have. They have accumulated the causes to experience this. Rejoice in what they have done. And generate, rather generate the wish, may they experience ever greater happiness. May they only accumulate causes for happiness. In particular, may they experience lasting, stable happiness. Thinking like this, there's no space in one's mind for miserliness at all. Rather, one is generating huge stores of virtue. The text continues, to help others' minds forsake all disputation. Our time is up for today. The opportunity we have here for the teaching is impermanent. And yeah, time is up, so we'll start from this point tomorrow. But just to briefly summarize what we've looked at today, we looked at various other techniques to cultivate the inner jewels of the Dharma. And it all comes down, though, to various techniques that we need to employ through taking care of our mind, through guarding our mind, relying on the combination of introspection, mindfulness, and conscientiousness, and being aware that when our mind is in an unwholesome way, bring it back to a wholesome way. And we saw then more techniques today to bring our mind back to a wholesome way, a virtuous way, a positive way of thinking. So for example, when we notice attachment for something arising or aversion for something arising, remind ourselves, it doesn't exist in the way that it appears. Rather, it is like an illusion, an apparition, or an echo. It has no self-existence at all. No happiness, no lasting, stable happiness, No true suffering can be experienced from this object. We are only perceiving it in the way that we do because of our habits. It doesn't exist in the way that it appears at all. Moreover, we looked at today the faults of laziness and procrastination. And these two are just mental habits where we perhaps are drawn to worldly activities or we spend time on things which are virtuous but only in a small way, when we really rather have the capacity to engage in things of greater meaning. So here, when you recognize that within us, recall our need to spiritually develop. Recall that the faults that we have and our need to spiritually develop. And not only that, we have the capacity to do so. So here, generate joyous perseverance at this tremendous opportunity that we have attained, as well as our human capacity, our human potential, and strive then to fulfill that. Here, and moreover also, we need to train in these in virtuous minds so that we come to value others. Value others through understanding our close interconnected relationship that is spread over lifetimes. And even in this lifetime, indirectly, we have received so much benefit from all other beings. Thinking this way, we start to value them more, and recognizing too that they are on a fundamental level no different from us, we feel a sense of closeness towards them. We see their happiness as supreme. And this starts to break down not only our separation that we feel with others, but also the self-centeredness that desires our own happiness first and foremost. This base is an ideal basis to develop love and compassion. And moreover, the stronger these virtuous minds are within us, the self-centered attitudes such as miserliness or jealousy and envy, these start to arise ever less frequently. Rather, joy arises in us. Because we value others, joy arises when we see their good qualities, their good fortune, and we long for them to have ever more such good qualities and ever greater good fortune. So in brief, what we're doing in all these trainings is being skillful with our way of thinking, keeping our mind positive, virtuous, wholesome, and through our mental development, keeping it this way at all times, away from falling into depression or despair or non-virtue of any kind. As we train in this way repeatedly over a sustained period, this starts to become second nature to us. We become habituated to such a way of thinking. And in this way, it arises in us ever more easily, and our interactions with others become ever more positive. The impact that we have on others' lives becomes ever more beneficial.
All right, that's okay.
Thank you very much.